Please stand for the reading of God's word if you are able. Found in Luke 23, verses 39 to 43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. In these five short verses, we're given a powerful window into the heart of our Savior. When you read a short story like this, you always want to ask yourself, why are we given this opportunity? If we didn't have this story, what would we be missing? There are at least four astounding truths that are revealed here. First, we're given the clearest picture of pure grace in all of Scripture. Secondly, it contains one of the greatest confirmation that there is life after death in Jesus' own words. And thirdly, it reveals the true understanding of what paradise is all about. And then lastly, it shows the joyful heart of Jesus fulfilling his desire to seek and save the lost right up to his very last opportunity on earth. Two criminals, they've heard in the previous verses all the mocking of the religious leaders saying, "If you're the Messiah, save yourself." The guards come up and say, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." But when one of these criminals hears this, he even follows with the crowd in his own rebuke of Jesus and saying, "Are you the Christ? If so, save yourself and us." Harsh words to the Messiah. But the other criminal listened in a different way. And he rebuked the first criminal and he said to him, "Do you not fear God?" We are getting what we deserve. But this man was innocent. Which echoes the words even of the Jewish King Herod, who said, "I find no fault in this man." Even the Roman governor said, "I find no fault in this man." And here, from the words of a common criminal deserving everything he was getting, we have the same words: "This man is innocent." Three times. Why are we told that? Because of what it's going to mean in a moment. This criminal had listened with a very different ear. And yet what you want to remember is he had no personal knowledge of Jesus. He had never met Jesus before this time. Most likely because of the life he lived, he'd never been to synagogue. Probably knew very little of the law of Moses. And he had lived a life of greed, of hate, robbery, and most likely murder is implied because of the death that he's being given here. And yet he grasps these thoughts. This man is innocent. But this man is a king. And that makes him stop. I really enjoyed someone recently showing me a small clip from a wonderful pastor, Alistair Beggs, Scottish pastor in Cleveland, Ohio. And he was looking at this passage and he said, let's take it a little further at the end of that day. And here is the thief standing before the pearly gates of paradise. And St. Peter says to him, why should I let you into heaven? And the thief says, I don't know. Well, weren't you saved by grace through faith? I don't know. I mean, don't you understand that you've been justified by Christ's death on the cross? I don't know. I never heard those words before. Then how did you get here? And he said, just the middle guy on the cross said I could come. We smile at that. But you see, that's the purity of grace. Just the middle guy. He did call him Jesus. But it's the clearest picture of pure grace really in Scripture. See, it wasn't his knowledge. It wasn't his understanding of the way salvation works. That isn't what got him there. It was an honest plea of mercy. That's all it was. Actually, all the elements of faith are actually here, whether he understood it all or not. Because first of all, he acknowledged, I'm getting what I deserve. I am a sinner. Secondly, he acknowledged Jesus personally because he called him by name. Jesus' name means one who saves. He acknowledged that Jesus was a king. He had the authority to do what he would do. And he acknowledged that this dying king would still live to receive his kingdom. That's amazing faith. All he asked was simply to be remembered at some future time, whenever that happened. And Jesus looked at him and said, no, not when. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And he confirmed with his own words, there is life after death. We're often led to ask, why the word paradise? Why not heaven? Paradise was obviously a word that would have been known to this thief. It was a Persian word that had worked its way into the common language of the day because the Jews had been ruled by the Persians in the past. They had been ruled by the Babylonians in the past, those Eastern kings. And it's a word that refers to a walled garden. The word para means around, and dais is beauty, around beauty. And that had worked its way into the understanding of the day. There are at least three Old Testament references and several in the New that connect it with the Garden of Eden. As a matter of fact, it's even akin to the idea that Jesus was telling his disciples, "Today I go to prepare a place for you," a literal place. Jesus himself even refers to this in the book of Revelation, which we've been studying in chapter 2, when he says, "The paradise of God is where the tree of life is," the one that was in the Garden of Eden. But you see, the emphasis here is not so much on the beauty. The emphasis is what Jesus reveals is the true joy of paradise. Because he says to him, "Truly, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise." The beauty of paradise is not what's around you. The beauty of paradise is being with Jesus. As Jesus even came to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. Paradise to the ancient kings was the place that was private, secure, filled with beautiful animals all over the world, plants, flowers. But it was the place the king would take his closest friends, and they would walk to be able to talk freely with intimate conversation. And this is what Jesus is saying to this man. That's the joy. The joy of heaven is seeing and being with Jesus face to face. And when the thief on that cross looked at Jesus in the face, with faith, his life was changed forever. One last thought. We want to understand a great joy that is in the heart of Jesus at this moment. It shows this joyful heart at the height of Jesus' greatest pain. Delighting to invite a lost sinner, so lost he would be dead in a few hours and would end up in hell. And yet the Savior took his last moment on earth to love and save a man who knew nothing. Who knew nothing, but simply asked, "Would you remember me?" Wow. Just remember me? Little me? And Jesus said, "Yes." Yes, in fact, today, in fact, everyone will remember you for eternity because of your request to be remembered. And we will walk in the beauty, just you and I, in that paradise. Let's pray. Great Father, how the power of your words unfold far more than we ever dream, because there are words of infinite wisdom, eternal value. And here you open them up to a little man who deserved nothing and received the beauty of pure grace. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.